Hi, this is Dr. Linda Travolute, and I'm so glad that you've got this audio in your hands because I know, listen to me, I know this is going to boost your prayers and help you get some great results. Now, I need you to know that this is a part of Prayer Rocket Academy, so the audio that you're listening to right now was originally created to be a part of that program. After the program was completed, and I will say that the program has 10 pieces to it, 10 audio components, and after I completed that program, I decided to make each of the components available on its own. So that's what you have here. This is a standalone audio component, but as you listen to it, I need you to know that you're going to hear about a workbook. So when I refer to the workbook, I don't want you to be in the dark. The workbook came with the original program, Prayer Rocket Academy, but I'm going to put that workbook in your hands for free. So I'm going to give that to you as a bonus. If you have this audio, you can go to my website at lindatravolute.com and click on the resource tab where you can download the bonus material for this audio. Just look for the audio title, and you'll have an opportunity to download that workbook section for free. And you can either use it on a tablet such as your iPad or your iPhone, or you can even print it out so that you can write on it if you prefer hard copy paper. But if you're good with the digital product, you can use a program like Adobe or Goodreader, any kind of a PDF reader to put notes on it and really make good use of that workbook section, because it's going to help you put into practice the things that you hear on this audio. Okay, so here we're going to get started. Buckle up. Once again, welcome back to Prayer Rocket Academy. And this audio is all about unshakable faith. Faith, obviously, plays a key role in prayer. As we know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you fail to link the Word of God with faith, it won't work. Because the Word of God is how we develop our faith. See, if you fail to give the Word of God top priority in your life, it's just a matter of time before your faith begins to disintegrate. And the reason for that is faith, the presence of faith in your life, is brought on by the presence of God's Word. And then if you lack God's Word in your life, you're going to lack faith. See, faith and God's Word go hand in hand. They're inseparable. So again, if you are lacking faith, you're probably lacking time in God's Word that you need to fuel your faith. And if you are full of faith, you're probably full of the Word. They just go hand in hand. Paul said in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith and the Word of God are just kind of joined together. They're tied together. So if there's no Word, there's no faith. And when faith is absent in a person's life, you'll find that the Word of God is absent as well. Okay? So your ability to walk in that knowledge that you are righteous in Christ, which allows you to access anything you would need in prayer, is going to hinge upon whether or not you have a good understanding of God's Word. And it's just a matter of time before you'll begin to lose that sense of righteousness if you're not in the Word. So if you're not feeling righteous, you've either got some faulty beliefs or you're not in the Word so that it builds your righteousness or your sense of righteousness up. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You don't get righteousness by spending time in the Word. There is nothing you can do to make yourself righteous. Christ has done everything that needs to be done. He has made you righteous if you believe in him. But what I'm trying to say is you will lose that sense of righteousness if you don't stay in the word. And the reason for that is you've got to know what the truth of God's word is in order to know when the lie of the enemy comes at you. The lie that would say, no, you're not righteous. You don't deserve God's salvation, or you don't deserve for God to answer this prayer for you. You don't deserve to be healed. You don't deserve this or that. Okay? So by staying in the word, you continue to have a greater understanding of what righteousness is and what you have been given as a believer in Christ. And another thing that happens if you aren't in the word, like we discussed at the beginning of this program, you won't have the edge in your prayer life because you won't know enough scripture to give you the edge. Remember when we talked about the fact that God's word is a double-edged sword? It comes out of the mouth of God first and then out of your mouth. So it's a two-mouthed sword. And if you don't have the word in you, you won't be able to speak the word and have that edge in your prayer life. So the sword of a Roman soldier rested on this thing that hung from his loin belt. And we're going to just take some time to talk about the Roman soldiers and what they did with their armor, because Paul makes these amazing comparisons in the Bible about how the word of God and how different pieces of our spiritual being, different parts are related to the armor of God. So we're going to spend some time talking about that. Now, the sword is a picture of the written word of God. And that rhema word, and rhema is R-H-E-M-A, the rhema word that you need will come directly from the Bible as the Holy Spirit quickens a verse to your heart. So you'll have these special moments when the Spirit of God speaks a word into your heart. And when that happens, you know, it's going to just be an amazing thing. But you can't base your Christian life entirely on rhema words from God, because you may not always receive a personal word from the Lord, okay? But you will always have the dependable word of God, because it is always there, always available, and it doesn't change. So when I talk about a rhema word, I'm talking about something that God breathes into your spirit. It's like an instant word that you get where he encourages you, or the Spirit of God just brings something to lighten you and you get it. It's like a revelatory word. And then the word of God is what you find in the Bible. Okay, and that's what we have to build our life upon, because the word of God is what gives us direction. And that's that piece of armor that is always available. It is always accessible. And you can even touch this one, right? It's tangible. It's something you can pick up, whether you are using a Bible that has leather wrapped around it and it's full of paper pages, or maybe you're reading a paperback version, or like I do, maybe you've got your Bible on your Kindle. I've got like 12 Bibles on my Kindle, and I've got Bibles on my iPhone and my iPad, and wherever your Bible is located, it's tangible, right? So if you have that weapon in reach, if you have it in your hand, you'll have everything you need to live a life that is successful, a life that is fulfilling. You will be able to conquer any challenge that comes at you, and you'll win. Ephesians 6:16 says this, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now that's the King James Version, and let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. It goes like this, "In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." Roman soldiers usually had two kinds of shields. One was used in public parades and ceremonies, and the other shield was more practical, and they used that one in battle. So the first shield was a small round shield, and it was really just a decorative piece. It was more for show. And again, it was just used when they would be in ceremonies and parades, and it wasn't really something that you could fight with. This particular shield was beautiful. I mean, it was stunningly beautiful. They went to great extents to decorate these shields that were used in public ceremonies. It had all kinds of little etchings on it and engravings and markings on the front. And in the middle of the shield, there was usually a picture that an artist made of a previous victorious military campaign that would, you know, just celebrate the past victories. And so this shield, so beautiful, but it was too small to be used in an actual war or a battle. Now, the other kind of shield that was used by the Roman soldier was the one that Paul is talking about when he makes this reference in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the verse that we just read, verse 16, when he's talking about the shield of faith. This shield was used by the Greeks to refer to a door that was wide in width and long in length. So the Romans used this word, like this door, for shields that they carried into battle because the shields were shaped as big as a door, and they were in the shape of a door, so they were big enough for the soldier to hide behind. Just like the door of a house. Like if you took the door of a house off its hinges and just carried that with you, you know, that would block you from anybody that's throwing darts at you or shooting an arrow at you, or might even keep you from a bullet, right? So this large battle shield was the very opposite of the first shield. That first shield was way too small to protect the soldier from the arrows of the, you know, the folks that were out to get him. So that shield never would have done a good job at protecting the soldier in the midst of a battle. So as beautiful as it was and as incredibly enjoyable to look at in public ceremonies, you know, people would be in awe over these shields. That small piece of armor would have left the soldier totally vulnerable to any blows that the enemy would strike. Now, the second shield completely covered the soldier. Completely, right? It was the size of a door. Okay, so it's really important here and very significant that the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to use this second shield as the example of faith instead of the first shield. He's telling us that God's given us enough faith to make certain that we are completely covered, just like the battle shield completely covered a Roman soldier. We're not talking about a tiny little shield here. We're talking about something that covers the soldier from head to toe. Okay? Romans 12:3 says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So how much faith has God given you? Has he given you enough faith to make certain that you're covered in life? Yes, he has. You don't have to ever worry that God gives other people more faith than he's given you. Everyone has the amount of faith that they need to cover anything you would have to battle. Just like that big door. Just picture a big door and you would take it off its hinges and just hide behind it. That shield of faith is that big and it's adequate to cover every inch of you, every situation that would ever come up in your life. Okay? Now, the Roman soldier's shield, I'm starting to get tongue-tied, sorry about that. The Roman soldier's shield was composed of layers, a lot of different layers, usually six layers. And what they would do is take thick animal hide that had been tightly woven together, and those layers of hide were treated and they were tanned and they were put together so tightly that they became almost as tough and as strong as steel. And a piece of leather is tough, but if you can imagine how durable and how tough six layers of leather would be if you stacked them on top of each other and had it treated and like kind of like glued together, that's a tough piece of material. And because that shield was made from all these layers of animal hide, it was very strong and it was long-lasting and nothing could penetrate those things. So your faith is very similar to that example. It's extremely tough. It's durable, more than you ever realize. And it's amazing that as hard as the enemy tries to blow you away and make attacks against your faith can outlast his attacks. Because that shield of faith that God's given you, it's strong, it's long-lasting, it's durable, and it's everything you need. But you need to take care of your shield of faith. You have to care for it. Just like the Roman soldier's shield was made of leather, it had to be taken care of. There had to be special steps involved in caring for the leather. I know I've got, you know, some leather shoes and leather bags, like my backpacks, the Ameribags that I carry for travel when I put my computer in it or my iPad, my, you know, work tools into my Ameribag, because it's made of leather, it could, you know, it's worn and could crack. So I have to put leather treatment on it and use special cleaner to take care of those bags because I want to make sure that they last, right? Because that's a part of my tool set. That's a part of my, what I do. I have to have those tools for business and for ministry. So these leather shields that the soldier had, those were his tools. And he had to take very good care of those tools. So those six layers of animal hide, even though it made it extremely strong, that leather could become real stiff. And it could even become brittle if it wasn't taken care of. So the soldiers were given a schedule for maintaining their shield. They had to keep them in excellent condition. So usually what they would do is in the mornings when they would wake up, they'd take oil and they'd saturate a piece of cloth with it. And they'd rub that oil into the leather so that it would keep the shield soft and pliable. And if a soldier ignored that, if he didn't take the steps every day to treat that shield with the oil, guess what would happen? His shield would come apart and it would break. Over time, that leather would harden. And then if it were to be put under pressure, it would just fall to pieces. So that would be the end result of a soldier, you know, they'd have nothing to protect them if their shield wasn't taken care of. And, you know, every soldier wants to live a long time, right? So it was important for him to pick up that oil every day and to apply it to that shield because he had to stay alive, right? Okay, so you might be wondering, what does all this talk about taking care of the shield with the oil have to do with us and our shield of faith? Well, the analogy is this. Our faith needs frequent anointings of the Holy Spirit. Without a fresh touch of the Spirit on your life, your faith will become hard and stiff. So how do you get a fresh touch of God's Spirit? You spend time with God. And how do you do that? Well, primarily, you spend time in the Word of God. The Word of God was written by the Holy Spirit. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's how God primarily will talk to us and how we're able to have a relationship with God. So there was another reason that the Roman soldier's shield was made out of animal hide. Before a soldier would go out to war, he would take that shield and he would place it in a big tub of water. And he'd let it soak until his shield was completely saturated with water. And the reason that they did this was because when the enemies would use their arrows, those arrows would carry fire. They were flaming arrows. So when those dangerous flaming arrows would hit their target, you know, that wet surface of the shields would extinguish them as soon as they hit. And that's why those water-saturated shields would give the soldier the protection that he needed, because they would quench the enemy's fire. So in the same way, when we keep our faith completely saturated with the washing of the water by the word, that's Ephesians 5:26, our word-saturated shields have the power to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the adversary. And you can read about that in Ephesians 6:16. So in order for that Roman soldier to keep their shields in top-notch condition, they had to take care of their shields every day with both the oil and the water. Okay? So that is so important for us. As we think about keeping our shield of faith in top-notch condition, we've got to be serious about the condition of our faith. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and anoint our lives on a daily basis as we saturate ourselves in the Word, because that is going to extinguish the devil's attacks. Pretty cool, huh? Now, Paul talks about the loin belt of truth, which is the Bible. That's the written Word of God. And it is the most important piece of weaponry that we have. The reason we know it's so important is because, if you'll remember that scripture, faith comes from the Word of God. So how could the shield of faith come if there's not the Word of God, right? So the Word of God is always primary, and that's the main piece of armor from which the other pieces hinge on. All right, now every soldier knows that it's not a good idea to walk into battle without your shield. Sadly, though, many Christian believers don't think about that when it comes to facing the enemy without their shield of faith. They think that they can be successful in their Christian lives without developing their faith. And that's kind of like foolishness. It is. It's just plain stupid. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, he said, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." See, when a believer puts away his faith, it leads to spiritual shipwreck. In other words, by ignoring the significance of faith, a lot of Christians have actually gotten themselves into big-time trouble because they have nothing to protect them. Paul said in Ephesians 6:16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So that word, wherewith, in the King James, it's kind of translated by which. So the phrase, shall be able, is taken from the word dunamis, which, as we know, is the explosive power or dynamic power. It's the same word we use for dynamite, or that's where that word dynamite comes from. So what that verse is saying is when you hold your shield of faith out in front of you, and when that shield of faith is anointed by the Holy Spirit and saturated with the Word of God, your faith puts you in a position to move into God's explosive and dynamic power. And that's powerful, especially when we're talking about prayer. We are kept by the power of God through faith. That's 1 Peter 1:5. So there's this connection between the power of God and the way faith operates in your life. And when the two are working together, they're going to build a strong defense against the enemy that he will not be able to get through. So your strong faith is going to activate the power of God in your life. And those two forces are going to combine to become this protective covering or protective shield between you and every demonic tactic that might be thrown your way. So the power and faith working together in your life, it's going to equip you to be ready to take any kind of serious blow. That combination will cause you to be fortified, strong, and powerful. Now, we know that the enemy's goal is to throw some fiery darts your way. And he wants to throw those darts into your mind. And those arrows are thoughts. Thoughts like, your marriage is over. You're going bankrupt. You won't be able to pay your bills this month. Your child is going to die of cancer. If one of those arrows gets stuck in your mind and you begin to believe it's lie, then your belief in that lie will allow it to become real in your life. So if that arrow of unbelief gets stuck in your mind and tells you that you're going to go broke, you have got to get rid of that lie. If that arrow of unbelief convinces you that there is no hope for your situation at work, that there is no hope for that friendship to be restored, whatever the situation is, that situation will become reality. So now the shield of faith needs to kick in to high gear here and help you quench and extinguish those fiery darts. And that's why the Word of God tells us that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. So how much damage can Satan's fiery darts do to you if by faith you immediately cast them down? Those arrows can't harm you. They can't harm you if they're laying all over the ground. They can't harm you if they didn't stick into your shield. So if those thoughts bounce off your shield because you have been protecting yourself, those things are not going to penetrate into your life and become reality. As you walk in faith, there are going to be times when you see an arrow from the enemy come your way, but keep that shield up in front, and that arrow will bounce right off of you. And when I talk about keeping that shield up in front of you, you are covering yourself with the Word. You are taking the Word, the truth of God's Word, and making every thought line up against that. You know, because the soldiers would anoint their shields with oil, they were very slick. They were slippery. So when he walked with his shield held up, those arrows would actually just slip right off. When they would hit that shield, they just kind of just, you know, get wimpy and slide right off of that shield. So this is what's going to happen when you're walking in faith. When you're anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, your faith is going to quench those darts that come near you. It's going to extinguish anything that the devil throws at you that would harm you and destroy you. So what would happen if the enemy's fiery darts did hit you and those arrows did penetrate your shield? Well, Ephesians 6:16 shows us. It says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. So that word wicked is taken from the word poneros. And that means sorrow, pain, evil, malicious, ill, or vicious. So this shows us that there are vicious, evil arrows. And that these arrows potentially carry pain and sorrow. Arrows that are involved in spreading the flame of wickedness and evil and suffering. So I hope you can see why it's so important that your faith is out there in front of you like a shield. Because if you ignore the shield, if you ignore your faith and you don't develop it, you'll discover that the devil's arrows have the capacity to penetrate. And when they hit, they're going to be malicious. And the lies that the devil shoots into your mind, they're not just going to wound you. They're going to hit and explode. It's going to be a full-blown destructive force. So keep this in mind. The devil's goal is to seize your mind. And it's to fill your mind with fear and to just cover it with lies. And if Satan can captivate your thinking and get you to focus on his lie, if he can interrupt your reasoning process and get you to believe that what he's telling you is true, then his fiery darts are going to release all kinds of destruction in your life. You know, maybe you've tried to act in faith in the past and you were disappointed with the results. Maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed for certain things to occur and you felt like you didn't have enough faith to see those things come about. Maybe you prayed for healing, but instead you began to feel worse. And then what happened was that you became discouraged into thinking that your faith doesn't produce results. And because of experiences like this, you might be afraid to step out and believe again. If you've ever felt the stab of the enemy's arrows because your faith wasn't out in front, that can really make you fearful. So I want you to remember that when that occurs, the devil knows that the mind is the control center of your life. And if he can seize your mind, he can begin to fight against you and other parts of your being. So you've got to keep your mind from being struck by those fiery darts, the darts that want to deceive your mind and play havoc with your thoughts. So again, pick up your shield of faith. When this happens, just, you know, be quick to recognize it, pick up your shield of faith, and then keep your faith strong. You know, get in the presence of God, get in the Word. You remember how the soldier takes care of his shield. You got to anoint that shield with oil and the water of the Word. And as you do that, it's going to continue to cover and protect every area of your life so that you're not mentally and emotionally or physically struck by the fiery darts of the enemy. And the reason I share this is because if you do that, you won't have as much stuff that you need to pray about. Do you see how this works? If you have your shield of faith in place and it's protecting you from all those fiery darts, from all the attacks of the enemy, then you're going to have less stuff, less problems in your life that you need to pray about. So that's why I've spent so much time dealing with the shield of faith. Now, I want to encourage you to get into your workbook and answer the questions that are there, because it's going to help you take this information about your shield and apply it to your life. All right, now we are going to talk about salvation and a specific piece of armor called the helmet of salvation, because the helmet of salvation guards your salvation so that you have complete understanding of everything salvation offers to you. And again, this is very important when we talk about prayer, because if you don't understand what salvation has given you access to, you won't know what you can pray for. The soldiers in Rome had these beautiful helmets, and they were very intricate. They were flashy and flamboyant. And that helmet was worn, of course, on the soldier's head so that everyone would notice it. And to make sure that they noticed the helmet, the soldier would take feathers of horsehair and put it inside the helmet so that the feathers would stand right up. So you could see this guy walking around with this helmet on and this big plume on top of his head. So Paul uses this example because he wants to get across to us this very point, that when a person is confident and secure of his salvation, he's going to walk around in this powerful reality of all that salvation means for him. And I tell you, that's going to make you noticeable. People notice you when you have boldness and confidence and when you know what belongs to you. I'll tell you, you watch. When somebody walks into a room and people turn heads, it's not just because of their outward beauty. Sometimes it's simply because that person knows who they are. And if you know who you are in Christ, look out, because you're going to turn heads. Now, a Roman soldier needed to wear a helmet because usually the opponents carried these short-handled axes called battle axes. And when the battle axes were used, heads rolled. So if a Roman soldier didn't have his helmet on when he went out to fight, you know, he could lose his head. So that helmet wasn't just a beautiful piece of his armor. It was something that was protecting his head. You know, you've heard the phrase, heads are going to roll. Well, that's what would happen if he didn't have that helmet on. And that's what salvation does for you and I. When you wear that helmet of salvation, it protects your head so that the enemy cannot make your head roll. Because you know that's where the enemy will attack you. He will attack you in your head, in your mind. That's where he battles for your life. So if your salvation is a helmet and it's not tightly around your head, the enemy is going to be able to chop away the blessings of your salvation. He'll chop that stuff right out of your belief system. He'll whack away at it. And he'll try to tell you that healing's not yours, deliverance isn't yours. He'll try to tell you that the blessings of Abraham do not belong to you when the Bible says they do. He'll try to tell you that what Christ did on the cross was not for you. He'll try to make you feel guilty and feel like you haven't had forgiveness of your sins. And by the time the enemy's finished with your mind, the only thing he's going to leave you with is heaven. He can't take that away from you. That's why you want to protect your mind. You've got to put yourself in a position to guard your head, to guard your mind, and to guard your thinking. You know, a lot of people try to do work for the kingdom of God without walking in the full knowledge of their salvation. You know, they try to pray without walking in the full knowledge of salvation. And, you know, maybe you've heard people pray who just don't really understand all that they're entitled to. And their prayers are wimpy. Their prayers don't mean much. So this is why it's so important for you to understand what salvation has given you. Because if the enemy can seize control of your thought life, he can extend that influence to other areas of your life and rob you of so many things. And so that's why in Prayer Record Academy, you've got to have a good understanding of salvation and the helmet of salvation that is to guard your head. You've got to spend time studying what the Bible has to say about salvation. Look at what this includes. Salvation includes healing. Salvation includes deliverance. Salvation includes redemption. You've got to understand intellectually what salvation encompasses. It's got to be ingrained in your mind, and you've got to become so convinced of what salvation has given you. You've got to train your mind to think correctly so much that that knowledge becomes a protection, a helmet of protection in your life. So once you understand what salvation gives you, it's not going to matter how hard the enemy tries to come and hit you and whack away at your mind, because you'll know without a shadow of a doubt what Jesus' death purchased for you. And at that point, the enemy's just going to have to take a hike, because he won't be able to get past the helmet of salvation. So put your helmet on. Put it on so tight that the enemy will not be able to knock that helmet off. He will not be able to get past your helmet of salvation and make you doubt that you don't deserve a blessing that God has said that you could have, or anything that you could possibly need. Salvation has provided everything that you will ever need on this earth and in the world to come. All right, so because I know you want to become armed and dangerous, especially as a person of prayer, I want to make sure that you understand how the wiles of the devil work against you. So that word wiles in Ephesians 6:11 is taken from the word methodos. And that's a compound word using the word meta, which means with, and the word odos, which is the word for road. The word odos is where we get the word odometer, which is the instrument in your car that measures how many miles you've driven on the road. So when you put that together, it means with a road. So what's God's word saying here? It's saying that the devil works against a believer with a road. So in other words, the devil uses one road, one avenue, or like a one-lane attack on a Christian. He's only got one way to work. There's only one avenue. And do you want to take a stab at what that avenue might be? I'm thinking you might know. It's in your mind. That road goes straight to your mind. That's where he attacks. That's the one road. So if you want to know how the enemy is going to attack your health, your finances, your relationships, or whatever, it starts in the mind. The road goes to the mind. So the second word has to do with how the devil works in our lives. The word devices. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, "For we are not ignorant of Satan's devices." All right, so what's a device? The word device comes from a Greek word which means the mind. We talked about that root word earlier. It's called nous. All right, now the form of that word can be translated as a scheming of the mind. So if we were going to translate that into our vernacular today, that verse would say something like this: "We're not ignorant of the mind games that Satan tries to pull over on us." He goes straight to our brains. That's what he wants to do, is mess with our brains. So when we put those words together, we see that the devil works with a while, or that's working with a road. And where's that road headed? It's headed straight for your brain. And if the devil can get a foothold inside your brain, he's going to pull a device on you and start messing around with your mind. And this is why I love blending the world of psychology with theology, because it all works together. If we have an understanding of how our minds work, it'll help us gain an even greater understanding of our spiritual lives. Now, we're going to talk about the third word that has to do with how the devil works in the life of a believer. It's the word deception. And that's taken from the word dolios, D-O-L-I-O-S. And that word doesn't mean to deceive accidentally or just, you know, haphazardly. It means to deceive with a purpose. Okay, this word can be found in the New Testament in verses that are connected with the devil's deception, you know, his abilities to deceive us. And in its most literal sense, that word means to bait someone, like you would bait a fish. And by putting those three words together, we see exactly how the devil works in our lives. The enemy comes in with a wile, which again means with a road, and that road is headed straight for the mind. So if the devil can beat down a believer's mind, if he can beat down our resistance, he can wage a warfare in our mind with a device or a mind game. Now, once that mind game is in full swing, Satan baits the believer with lies, accusations, and slander. So if the believer perceives those lies to be true and bites on the bait, then that process of deception goes into full swing. And that's why Paul said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, in the next audio, we're going to talk about strongholds, because it's really important that you have an understanding of what strongholds are so that you know how to come against them and how to pull them down. A lot of people pray against strongholds and they use all these formulas and crazy stuff to bring down a stronghold, but it's really not rocket science. I'm going to show you very simply what a stronghold is and what you can do about it to get it out of the way. Okay, so tune in to the next audio. We're going to talk about that. And at the end of this audio, you know what I'm going to encourage you to do. Get out that workbook, take a look at it, fill out the questions, and do some work there so that you can work through some of the patterns that you have and institute some new patterns in your mind. You're going to guard your mind with your helmet of salvation, and you're going to put that shield of faith out in front of you, and it's all going to work so beautifully together to help you pray better prayers. So get out there and get that workbook, okay?